Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, that I greet you in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Welcome to another Theologically Speaking. I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. Such a blessing and honor it is to have come this far in this journey of just being able to have thought-provoking messages and thought-provoking subjects that causes us to come a little bit closer in our biblical beliefs and challenges us to think on a higher level about that which we believe in, that which we practice. We'd like to also just say thank you to our executive producer, James Brown, for affording us this opportunity to share this worldwide platform. It's been quite a ride so far, and such a blessing it is to be able to have the opportunity to use this technology to spread God's word in this way. Before we go any further on today, the most important thing that I feel like we should do whenever we go about any serious undertaking, and that's invoke the blessings of deity. So let us bow. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, this time that you have given us to be able to sow seeds into someone's life. Using technology, you've given us the opportunity to help us to think more deeply about the principles that we find recorded in your word. Help us to arrive at an accurate interpretation. Holy Spirit, we need you to just lead us in all truth and direct us, seal us, cover us, guide us, correct us even. Help us to know, to discern that which is appropriate for our lives. Help us to understand the direction that we should go, and help us to be guided to be pleasing in God's sight. And as we have celebrated another Father's Day, help us to be intentional and purposeful toward all of our ministries toward fathers. And help us to understand exactly what the Word of God says to every father so that they will be more intentional and purposeful for walking in the plan that God has laid out for their lives. Lord, as you burden our hearts, we stand here today asking you to just continue to incite in us a revival so that as we stand, we'll be able to also withstand as we put on the whole armor of God during the times when the enemy is attacking us. God, give us the strength and the surety that while we fight, while we yet stand, that it's you that is empowering us with spiritual weapons necessary that we might be victorious. We trust you and we believe you, God. In Jesus' name, we gladly say, amen. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe that it's a mistake that you've joined us here today. If you're under the sound of my weak voice, I believe that you are here for a specific reason. And that reason today is brings us to our topic. Our topic we're talking about kind of going to carry back over from Sunday. And Sunday we was preaching. It was Father's Day. We had a great time. We had an opportunity to share after service and have some food, breaking bread, fellowshipping, but we really had to deal with some subject matter that I believe that is still burdening our hearts even right now. The subject matter dealing with fathers and even with different situations, they kind of all tie together, and I'm praying that we have an open heart, an open mind. It may be some words of conviction for someone. It may be some words of encouragement. This word might not even apply to you, but you might know somebody that it applies to. Do yourself a favor. Do them a favor and share it. Because in our sharing, what we do is we allow iron to sharpen iron, and we grow sharper in the word of God. So, amen. So for a very brief moment, I would like to journey over to Ephesians 6, and I'm just going to go right to the fourth chapter, to the fourth verse. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, going right to the fourth verse. The Bible reads this. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." One more time. It says, "Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Amen. I told the story about the honorable mention. The honorable mention. And I really don't want to re-preach Sunday's message, but I'll highlight a couple parts of that. We were talking about how when your child goes to school, one of the things that they do is they go there to learn and to ultimately become better. But one of the things that we also realize about education is that society is measuring our children by their education to determine, or actually to forecast, if you will, empirically, what type of person your child will be. And so one of the reasons that we want them to become proficient is because they look at grades when they're in middle school and high school to determine if it's worth investing into them a scholarship. We were talking about how after the first or second year of college, we get a certain stipend. We might be eligible for certain grants, but those grants are limited. But they actually increase upon you receiving a certain amount of credit because you demonstrated that you are serious about school. You're very oriented towards success, and that is something that we can invest more into. Sharing about how what school meant growing up, there was always something honorable when you actually made the honor roll. Making an honor roll was something that was very infamous. It was something that was very rewarded when you actually achieved it. What honor roll said to the teachers, it says to the community around, it says to the academic community, and also says to the parents. One is that this person has achieved excellence. This person has achieved proficiency in the skills necessary so that they may be marked as an honor. An honor person have been able to go into the different fields of mathematics, linguistics, and various different subject matters that was presented to them. They were able to assimilate this knowledge, and they were able to actually show that they have proficiency in their understanding of it. Now they have something a little bit different from honor roll. They also have the honor roll, but they also have kind of a runner-up title that they tend to call honorable mention. Honorable mention. Now, there may be some households that give rewards for honorable mention. But in my household coming up, understand that honorable mention means that you just didn't make it. Honorable mention means that some type of way you got the information, but yet you have not completely shown excellence. You show a level of proficiency, but yet you have not shown excellence in the information you've assimilated. Let me deal with that for a second, because I believe one of the issues that we have within our everyday lives is the fact that we're living an honorable mention style of Christianity. Let me talk to you for a second. All the instructions that we need are right here in God's Word, but for some reason we find some way of becoming resistant to it. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but some of us are resistant when it don't feel like, when it don't feel like something that we want to do, when it's uncomfortable for us, when it causes us to be stretched or placed outside of that zone where we feel like we can relax. We want to go against the grain because we don't want to do what thus said the Lord. It's something about having an honorable mention way of life because we will not, we don't even want to achieve excellence. I want to give you a warning there because when you flip over into the book of Romans, the first chapter, you'll find that the Bible says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When you start studying what a reprobate mind is, it's that you're not ignorant because you know that God exists. And if you understand that God exists, then you understand that he's revealed himself naturally to us in different ways. And so if he's revealed himself through us in different ways, then understand that one of the ways that he revealed himself is through his word. And so we hear his word, we understand he exists, but yet still we decide not to incline our ear to the word that he actually passed down to us. And so we fail to achieve proficiency. Some of us might make a half strike at it. Some of us might actually execute a little bit of Christianity when it feels convenient for us, or when it's time to hallelujah for a car, or hallelujah for a house or a business, or when a fake prophet wants to prophesy unto us and tell us that if we run up and down the alley, we're going to get $8,000 or $80,000 released into our lives upon his hest or upon his very inkling or thought. Oh, that's something to shout about and hallelujah. Oh, it can't be verified, but we're going to shout hallelujah for it. But here it is. God is telling you that one of the things that he desires is that we just have faith. He desires that we have obedience. He desires that we actually honor and obey his word. And part of that word, my brothers and sisters, that I highlighted, spoke to fathers. There was specific instructions, as we find in Ephesians 6 and 4, and it was specifically that the fathers were not supposed to provoke their children or anger their children. Let me give the exact context. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I went over into a prison, and I was so blessed to be among friends and brothers. I say that again, and I say that for a reason. These men are already paying their debt to society, so I pray that we don't look at them with judgment. They may have done wrong, but understand that wrong comes with consequences. And if they're paying their debt on their consequences to society, then certainly who are we to judge if God is already allowing things to work as far as adjudicating a righteousness or adjudicating a right and wrong in their lives in that particular situation. So I was among what I felt like brothers and friends. I was very well received, and we were talking about fatherhood. And one of the things that we talked about regarding fatherhood is this very thing. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And so provoking our children to anger, if you look at different versions, one of the things that you'll understand is that the Bible is actually telling us not to incite them. And so how do we incite them? I was telling these men that were in prison that even though they were in prison, they were not excused from fatherhood. See, there are some people walking around with an honorable mention mentality towards their fatherhood right now. Oh, I'll pay the child support, but I don't want to be bothered with the child. Slap yourself. That's honorable mention. Or here it is. You know what? I'll spend time around the child, but I won't spend time with the child. And so you are honorable mention father because you still didn't show up. You still did not achieve excellence. You still were not there guiding and teaching and bringing your child up. Let me not get too far ahead of myself. So here it is. It says, do not provoke your children to anger. When we look at what the absence of the father's a presence does to a child, we can understand that it's insightful to a child to not be there for them, not to provide the nurture and the care and the support. I even gave this theory that I believe that some type of way dysfunction always, or well, I won't say always, but usually comes back to a dysfunctional relationship between a parent and a child. Why do I believe that? I believe that because I think some daddy's little girl somewhere just wanted, some little girl just wanted to be hugged by her father. She wanted to be loved. She wanted to be just adored by dad. They say the first person that a little girl falls in love with is her father. And so she just wanted to have that love from dad, but dad was not there. Okay, So if that is not there, then where do she get this love from? In theory, they begin to assimilate this love. They begin to pick and choose different sources. They look for love in all the wrong places. Nappy, knucklehead little boy comes and says, oh, you're so fine, you're so pretty. And suddenly she's swept off her feet. Well, let me give it to you from this angle. If Dad had been telling you her that you're my princess, you're so beautiful, you're the world, and you mean all of these different wonderful things, and teach her how to value herself and carry herself as a person of pride and dignity, as a person that have the backing and love and support of her father, then she would be able to say, you know what, I know I'm cute and thank you for the compliment, but it's going to take much more than that to try to lure me into your trap. And so here it is, we find that promiscuity many times is the result of some type of parental withdrawal. Now, I said this is theory. You can go and get different sources and refute me on it, but this is just lived experience for what I've seen actually working in ministry and just living life in my own personal experience. So here it is, you know, if we look at this, it actually makes logical sense, because we see that young girls aren't being brought up in the way, because we see them walking around scantily clad. We see them walking around in dysfunction continually. Let us not say that that's just little girls. We're not throwing stones at little girls. Little boys walk around with no concept of how to present themselves as men or talk and actually be respected as a person having dignity. Pull your pants up, young man. Speak with some clarity. Actually formulate your words and your sentences. I need to hear some good pronunciation of your words and syllables. How about yes, sir, and no, sir? How about some respect? How about teach that young man to walk the young lady on the inside? How about open her door for her and pull out her chair for her? How about, young lady, don't go and squeeze a man's hand and look at him chest to chest like you want to fight him, but a young lady presents her hand to the man, and a young man receives her hand. He don't grab her and he don't squeeze her, but he receives her. How about these ways of etiquette and respect that are missing from the generation to the generation? Getting back on these fathers here, these honorable mention fathers, you find that it's very prevalent, because when you look at the prison system, you'll find that there's a very big congruence, or if you will, correlation between the fatherless household and violent crimes. Offenders who not only offend, but they offend over and over and over again. My brothers and sisters, if this is not inciting, if this is not provoking us to mislead the generation into dysfunction, then I don't know what is. I'm afraid, y'all, because the Bible says that it's better that you tie a millstone around your neck and be cast in the sea than to lead one of mine astray. The Bible also teaches that a man that does not take care of the members of his family, particularly those of his own household, he's regarded as an unbeliever. You're equal to an infidel. You're equal to an unbeliever. How do I know that? Because you would look at the example of God. You look at the relationship between the father and the son, and obedience from the son to the father, and instruction and love. See, God didn't just love us, but he so loved us that he sent his only begotten son, and whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The father loved you so much that he gave you the best perfect gift that he can ever give you. He gave you himself. He gave you deity wrapped up in flesh. He gave you his only begotten son. As a father who is not honorable mention, but yet an honor roll father, achieving proficiency and excellence in fathering, would give their child the greatest gift that they can give them. One, you would give them God. And then, two, you would give them you. See, we think that our children want to just have material things. Yeah, they want material things, but they don't just want material things. There's some spoiled children walking around thinking that, oh, if I just have this and I just have that. But once they get it, there's still something that's missing and unplugged if they don't have the presence of the pop. Hey, I just heard Biggie in my head. I love it when they call me Big Papa. I love when my children call me Pops, because they call me Pops as a term of endearment. You're going to catch this in a minute. Pops, this. Pops, can you cut my hair? Pops, can I get your opinion on this? Pops, what do you think about that? Pops, pops, pops. See, once upon a time, they used to call me just Dad. My daughter sometimes, she would call me Father. She'd say, Father? But understand that Pops is such a term of endearment because it's like, I love my daddy. I respect the time that we spent. I respect his presence in my life. I respect that when I need him, he's right there. I want my hair cut. He's right there. I need somebody to listen to me. He's right there. And I'm not trying to brag as Pops. I'm just trying to say that when you give that gift to your child, you're going to give them your presence. You can give them all the presents that you want to give them, but please don't deny them your presence. What am I saying here? That child needs you pouring into them. The Bible says train up a child in the way that they should grow. When they get old, they won't depart from it. Don't be the infidel today. Don't be the honorable mention. Missing the mark. They're missing the mark. I was telling them guys in prison, I said, you know what, I preach at the church, and I also study doctoral studies at Grand Canyon University. And one of the things that I found out through my studies is it doesn't matter what you do if you're not there for your children. Even as a preacher, if I spend more time at the church house preaching and teaching in the highways and the byways, but I don't pay attention to my own children, I'm still going to experience dysfunction. So whether you're in prison, whether you're out hanging out in the street with your boys or drinking at the bar or whatever it is that you're doing, if you're not taking that time to spend at home, by the way, the Bible says charity begins at home. If you're not taking the time to deposit that love, that knowledge, that wisdom into your child, then essentially you're turning them over for the enemy to teach them. Imagine that. I won't teach my child. I won't discipline my child. I will not impart my presence and my influence and my godly principles into my child. But I'm going to trust the world to do it. So I send you to school because I know that the teachers are going to teach you everything that I think you should know. Slap yourself. It still needs to be a reinforcement. It still needs to be that spiritual kind of level of anointing, that covering that should come from the father being in a household and being in the lives of the children. I'm going to go a little bit further and get ready. Get on out your way. Look a little bit further in that scripture. The Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But, okay, so contrary to provoking them to anger, what you need to do is bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. First of all, let's deal with the discipline. Notice is discipline is separated from the instruction. Understand that discipline actually, I learned that the shepherd has a staff, a rod and a staff. So one is for correction and one is for protection. Understand that one is designed to teach and instill and to guide, to point, to anoint, to direct, to focus. And likewise, being a shepherd of your household, a man should impart these same principles into his child, into his children, into his family. And this discipline is you have the audacity, you have the boldness to teach those things which are of God, the principles that are found in his word. This man stood up at the prison. He said, oh, my God, I've never had a parent pour into me. I never had anyone love me. I never had anyone share with me a child and parent kind of relationship. So how can I share that kind of thing and pour into my child that which was never poured into me? I said, begin with his word. It says, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It didn't say that you have to go and take on the world concept of what fatherhood is like. It said in the instruction and discipline of the word. Look in the word and see the different examples of what a father should be like to a child. Look at the example that the father is himself to his child with the giving of the most perfect gift. He gave us the most perfect gift so that we'd have salvation. Now actually look at the father and how he was directing and anointing, and he divinely inspired things specifically so that we might have life. He sent Jesus so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So imagine here now that God is our example, that we follow, that we cleave onto, and the instruction and discipline of the Lord. So first, I lay down to you what his word is. I lay down to you the teachings of the word of God. I help you to understand and have a relationship with God for yourself. That's the greatest thing that you can ever give someone. Imagine us separated from sin, by sin from God. But imagine that this is eternal, this separation that we have from God. But somebody is able to impart to you enough wisdom and knowledge to give you that stimulated seed of faith, that measure of faith will cause you to believe so that now you may also receive the eternal promises that we have, the greatest gift that you can ever give. And the Bible says that the worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Huh? And so if you begin to give him the beginning of understanding or the beginning of wisdom, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but in all I get and get an understanding. So here it is, we need to come to a consistency of wisdom and understanding of what? Of God, of his ways, of his word, of his principles. That's the greatest gift that you could ever give your child. If you want to give him a love that you never know, the greatest love is to give him the gift of the cross. Give him the gift of the Christ of the cross. Give them the gift of Jesus. Give them the gift of teaching God's word, the instruction and the discipline of the Lord. And see, you give them the instruction, but then you make sure he adheres to it, because you have this banner over your house and your principles that say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so in your serving, your child will be able to see that you are molded yourself, and that you're guided, and that you're ultimately shaped by these principles that you teach. See, that's where it comes with the discipline. The discipline don't come and just do what I say. We got this twisted sometimes. Do as I say and not as I do. When you tell your child, because I said so, or do as I say and not as I do, what you're saying is, I am identifying myself as the honorable mention kind of parent. I have not achieved excellence. I really don't understand the biblical perspective of what it's like to be or what the Bible is saying to me as far as a parent. It says teach, train up. How do you train up? One of the best principles is to lead by example. You can't go out prostituting and then turn around and tell your daughter that it's not right. You can't be out in the street selling dope and then tell your child that, this is the wrong thing to do. I don't want you to do this. What example have you laid down? So, brothers and sisters, I challenge you today to be able to look into our lives and determine what type of parents are. Are we honorable mention, or are we honor roll parents? Let us live our lives on fire for the Lord. God bless you, and I love you.